you have donated multiple times. And I think at this point, you now own 51% of this podcast. So if, Malcolm, you would like to give me any orders or anything, I do believe that now we are in a position where you are my boss. And all I can really do is thank you for your generosity. So if you have any orders or a direction you would like the podcast to take, please feel free to send me a message, chunkandbeefchest@gmail.com. And sir, I commend you and I thank you. Oh, let's, okay. So this is, we talked about Iron Head, a Chinese streamer, and he went to a place called Yasukuni Shrine, a very controversial shrine, because it's where essentially war criminals have been entombed, or at least their spirits are supposed to rise there. It's dedicated to the people who died in wars. In some ways, that's just people who were drafted and had to go to war and had no choice. In other instances, it was people who were maybe a little more aggressive. This is the nicest way to put it. Countries like China and South Korea, they have severe issues with the idea of honoring people who invaded and did terrible things in their country. It's a very complicated issue. So an article came out and it said, Iron Head has no intention to turn himself in, which is an interesting title, because did anyone think he was going to? A guy who comes to another country to pee on a shrine, a religious, you know, building. Did they think that was to be the type of person who is suddenly going to have some sort of conscience in that I maybe have done the wrong thing and should go back and make some sort of retribution? I did not even consider the fact as a concept that he would come back and actually turn himself in. There are some quotes, though, and the quotes from him are pretty good. The reason is simple. I don't want Japan to discharge nuclear contaminated water, and that is my ultimate goal. Now, I do have some criticisms of his style of protest, because this is actually my problem with protesting often in general, is that it doesn't seem to be like it's actually going to be effective towards to getting the results. So you are unhappy that Japan had the Fukushima power plant issues, the meltdown, and they are releasing irradiated water into the ocean. That is something to be upset about. You don't like it. I understand that. You want them to stop. I don't think going around and peeing on things is going to convince anyone that what they're doing should change. I don't think that's the way it's going to actually affect or impact change. I don't think anyone in Japan is going to rise up and support, because if you actually wanted change within Japan, you would need to get the Japanese people on your side to agree with you to then affect or impact change. Peeing on things is not going to have the effect on the Japanese sensibilities that you might be expecting to. I think his expectation was he's going to go back to China and everyone's going to be like, dude, you peed on that thing. That was awesome. And he didn't really expect anything to change. So I think this is like a false front. He wanted to be something to be upset about. He found something to be upset about so that he could go and have an excuse to pee on Yasukuni Shrine. You should be the ones to reflect first. Turning myself in is out of the question. Again, like I said, I actually thought that from the beginning. I never thought it was a question. I actually, in this one instance, at least share the same mentality as Iron Head. He did not think about turning himself in. He was never thinking about turning himself in. He wasn't even considering it until probably someone else asked him so that he could say no, so that they could write this article. Not a surprise. He has not been questioned by public security in China. So he went back to China. There's no extradition treaty, obviously. The relationship between China and Japan isn't good enough for that. He got a certain amount of fame online for this act. The police saw it. And you know what? He went to another country that we don't particularly like, and he peed on a thing we really, really don't like. We're not particularly upset about that. So not a big surprise that nothing came of that story. So this whole story that I saw reposted multiple times is a massive nothing burger. This is something I do a lot, is I do a story, and then I hit the transition sound, and then I think of one more thought. I don't know if I should do the one more thought and then move on to the next story, or then I should just eliminate the transition sound. The transition sound is supposed to be just like okay, we've ended that story, we've started the next story. A woman edited images of characters from a popular smartphone game and then posted those images online. This did not sound like anything to me. Maybe this whole episode is me talking about nothing burgers. I mean, I have taken images from video games and characters and stuff and edited them, trying to make a joke probably, and then posted them online. It is such a common occurrence, I didn't think there would be an issue of it for it. She was angry about the treatment of her favorite character. So she has a favorite character in this game, and apparently they've done her dirty. So she decided to get, I don't know, revenge to demonstrate her displeasure. Much like the protest from the previous story, she decided to protest the treatment of this character in this game that she likes. The smartphone game is called Ensemble Stars. What she did was she took characters, she added insects to the character 6 times, and she posted them on X 3 times. So I'm assuming, you know, groups of two. So she took 2 pictures, added bugs to the pictures, posted that online, did it again and again. Again, I'm still at the point where I'm like, who cares? She's taken some images of characters and put bugs on them because she's unhappy of the treatment of her favorite character. Who actually cares? The company claimed copyright infringement. They claim copyright for obstructing the operation of the app by editing the character to cause discomfort and fear and greatly damage the image of our company's content, which sounds like a massive amount of bullshit. So basically, she took characters, edited them, posted them online, like millions. I bet there's like tons of fan things out there that are lavacious. I mean, that is just what happens with characters in Japan. And they're like unhappy about it, so they had her arrested. And I was like, I can't. What I'm interested about with this story specifically is, will a judge actually take this seriously? That's the bit I'm actually most interested in. Because I personally, if I was the judge, I'd be like, so she took some images, she put bugs on them and posted them online. I don't think that would have caused the level of discomfort and fear that you're claiming. I don't think it inhibited your operations. I don't think the closest you could get is a form of copyright infringement. But if they let other instances go, so like there are other people who have like done stuff to their characters and posted online and you didn't say anything, I would say that sets a precedent that you're okay with it. So it is no longer a case. It's very short. Like the intro to the story is really just the setup, which is every story anyways.
Yeah.
And then I give you 3 options and we can talk about it. Like again, like this isn't like there's no prizes.
Okay. No, that works fine for me.
You're in the forest right now.
I am in the forest right now, yes.
How far away are you from civilization and still volunteering to do a quiz?
Probably about 10 minutes away.
Okay, so like if you fell down, the last thing you would hear, it wouldn't just be my talking about some pervy 50-year-old man.
No, that'd be pretty dramatic, though. But, like, no, I'm on the tail end of a walk with my dog where I usually just listen to things.
Okay.
And then I get in my car and I drive back home. So I'm in the woods. There's some birds, but I'm not that far away from people. I just pass the people.
Ew.
Yeah. It's the worst part of the woods when you come here and other people aren't it.
Yeah. No, that is, well, I live in Japan, so. There's people everywhere. You cannot get away from people.
They have the nerve to be there all the time.
All the time. Okay, so we have a deputy manager in his 50s made discriminatory comments to 2 of his foreign subordinates. So these are 2 foreign workers working in a Japanese place. The manager has made basically racist comments.
Okay. Yep.
Really, it's guessing, which one of these do you think he said?
Okay.
A.
So I'm putting myself in the mindset.
Okay. Yeah, get yourself in the mindset of a 50-year-old Japanese man who doesn't like foreigners, who yet is still found himself in charge employing foreigners.
Okay.
A. I have a prejudice against foreigners. Bit on the nose. B.
Yep.
Foreigners are lazy and commit crimes. If there were no foreigners in Japan, it would be peaceful.
Okay, yeah.
Or C. Foreigners smell and don't speak Japanese properly.
God. See, both B and C are convincing. I can see either of those.
I mean, I like A is good because I like my racism direct.
And you know, like the Japanese people will tell you things like, oh, you've gained weight, Peter.
That is actually, to me, the most frustrating thing about being in Japan. because I will get self-conscious about gaining weight. And then they immediately walk up and go, hey, you're fat or fatter than you were before. You gained weight. And I'm just like, yeah. And it's bugging me. Thank you for making it worse.
How was your holiday? You must have eaten a lot. You sure look fat today. Yeah. Okay. So I can see the on-the-nose racism, but it doesn't feel like the way that I would be used to being told by Japanese people. I'm going to go with B.
Foreigners are lazy and commit crimes, and there are, if there were no foreigners in Japan, it would be peaceful.
Correct.
There has been a widespread bias amongst the right wing in Japan that it's only foreigners that commit crimes. There was a guy who tried to say that Japanese people don't have the gene that lends you towards criminality, which is not a thing.
I feel like I've absorbed some of these articles too passively. Maybe that's what's biasing my answer here.
Yeah, so like everyone who's coming onto the quiz has listened to Ninja News Japan, and so they've heard it. But I actually think the skill I'm bringing to it is I'm making all very realistic sounding answers.
You definitely have, because I feel like maybe I've heard some variation of all of those.
Yeah. Okay, so the answer, you are incorrect. I'm sorry. The answer was A. I have a prejudice against foreigners. He just straight up came out and said, you know what? You guys, everyone who's not Japanese, don't like them. Okay,
bless
so
your heart.
There's a second part, a mini second part to this. This is a government agency, so he was punished, but he was not fired. What do you think his punishment was? There's no options.
Can I ask, what's this agency in charge of?
I didn't write it down. I actually don't remember.
Okay, that's fine.
They actually might not have said, because they don't want like pushback from the public and people being shitty towards them. So it actually, maybe I did. It's not that I didn't write it down. Maybe they didn't say, they just said government employee.
Okay. So applying what I know of Japan, it's basically impossible to fire anybody.
Yes.
Unless it's pretty egregious.
You have to hit people to get fired.
I remember the old Konami story where they made developers into janitors.
Yes.
Just get them to quit. But yes. I don't think people would care enough about what he said to foreigners to actually do too much about it.
So I actually think one of the problems is they would be like, hey, he was just telling the truth. Like, there was nothing bad about what he did, because he was just telling you how he felt, and should he not be allowed to express his feelings?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I can either see him being one, not allowed to manage foreigners, or being given more foreigners to manage to increase his sensitivity.
Okay, so I'll give you this hint. It's neither of those, but he also wasn't removed from his position. So he's still in charge of the foreigners he was in charge of before.
Okay.
So he didn't lose his job.
Was he made? Didn't lose his job.
Yeah.
Did he have to go to a foreigner sensitivity course?
No, they don't do that here. I don't think there would be one, because who'd run it? Some other old racist man would be like, you know, we all know that that foreign people are bad, but we have to pretend we don't. Like, that would be their version of sensitivity training.
Totally. Like, what you said is wrong, but it's not, actually. We kind of agree with you, but we had to have this meeting anyways.
Yes.
I'm having a hard time. My feeling is he didn't get punished at all.
Oh, he did, though. He got a 3-month 10% pay cut.
Wow. That's actually pretty severe.
It is and it isn't. I mean, because he's going back the next day. So he's just been told you're not going to get 10% of your pay for 3 months. And then he goes back the next day into the same room with the same foreign guys. Unless they got moved or something.
And clearly blames them for it.
For it, yeah, probably. Yeah. He doesn't think it's his fault.
Okay.
It's your fault I got caught saying something.
Yeah, you probably ratted me out. And you are a foreigner, so it's correct for me not to like you.
Yes, this is why I don't like foreigners. Because they do stuff like lose me 10% of my pay for 3 months.
Goodness, okay, I'm not doing very well on this quiz. Ready for more.
It's all just open to open for the future. There's a new addition to the Swords and Firearms Bill in Japan. So Japan has a thing called the Sword and Firearms Act, and that is controlling weapons. So at first it's interesting because we only think of gun control. We don't think of sword control, but there are still lots of swords in Japan as a country. There are still people who make swords professionally. Swords are commonly available. And so they have the Sword and Firearms Act, which is weapon control. Because a couple of years ago, it was crossbows were added into it. So it's actually illegal to own a crossbow. You have to get a license for that now. They have added to that encouraging illegal gun ownership control. So it's not just having a gun or selling a gun or making a gun. They're saying if you encourage people to have a legal weapon, that also can be punished. And what they're actually aiming for, this is the interesting bit, what they're actually aiming for, because it's like if I walk around the street and go, hey, you should get an illegal gun. Hey, you should get an illegal gun. That technically would fall under this. I would get in trouble for that. What they want to do is put a ban on things that explain how to make guns or encouraging others to sell guns or in telling people how to do things with guns. And they're targeting YouTube videos and things like that because 2 years ago, the Prime Minister of Japan, Shinzo Abe, was killed with a homemade shotgun. So this guy went online. He learned how to make the gun online. He learned how to make the gunpowder online. He built it all. And then he went and he found the Prime Minister and he shot him, the former Prime Minister, and he shot him. So they're like, if you can learn this stuff online and it leads you to gun ownership, we should also punish the people who are encouraging people to create illegal weapons. So they've made it again. Japanese laws are very weird. They're always very broad. So encouraging is a very open to interpretation term. If you are encouraging people to have, own, or make an illegal weapon, you will also be punished. The punishment could be 1 year in prison and up to 300,000 yen fine. You have probably heard of Bandai Namco. They make Gundam models. So those plastic models people put together, very exciting piece of work. I actually think they look really cool. I don't have the patience to make them. They come in, they have like specialty ones in giant boxes, but like anything, scarcity makes them valuable. And scarcity making something valuable means that scalpers are going to try to buy them all and then resell them on the black market. They released Mighty Strike Freedom Gundam Gunpla. So I'm going to have to find an image of that. I don't follow Gundam enough to know what Mighty Strike Freedom Gundam is. I'm assuming he's a big robot. Scalpers saw an opportunity and they bought a whole bunch of these. And then Bandai Namco saw an opportunity and they released a whole bunch more, essentially undercutting the value in the black market. So these people, these scalpers, they bought a whole bunch of them and then the company released a whole bunch more so that everyone else could buy them. So there's no need for them to buy them on the black market from these scalpers. So these scalpers can't overcharge you. They can't, well, they lost a bunch of potential money because there's the money they invested into actually buying the Gundam and then the money, the potential profits they lost by not being able to resell them. An upset scalper took to the internet and he wrote a little treaty, and it goes like this. I'm going to read the whole thing to you because it's really entertaining to read. From Mighty Strike Freedom, which we oppose increasing available stock of, is there really a need to sell them at convenience stores? So sometimes even like convenience stores in Japan are different from convenience stores in other places. They sell kind of everything. Like you can get like home stuff you need. You can get food. You can get meals. You can get ingredients for meals. You need something. There's actually a very good chance you're going to get it at a Japanese convenience store. They also sell toys. And sometimes they sell specialty items like this. It was such a devastating event that we had to begin an emergency meeting. So this is a meeting of scalpers. An emergency meeting despite attending a seminar. So they're having some sort of seminar where they're talking about how to like scalp better or more efficiently or work together. And they're like, we had to stop that and have an emergency meeting about Mighty Strike Freedom. Now that the meeting is over, I'm pissed and I might use some foul language. At first, the cost was 2,970 yen and the expected profit price was 6,800 yen. So they're saying that you want to buy one of these things, it costs 3,000 yen and they were planning to sell it for 6,000 to 7,000 yen. So they were going to make about 3,000 to 4,000 yen profit. After the release of the product was confirmed, many members of my reselling seminar class worked together, with some even managing to obtain over 20 boxes. So that's 20 times 3,000 yen is what the investment they put into these, hoping to sell them and get twice that back. Our members have quite a good amount of available stock in total. This is what happened with the PlayStation 5. You couldn't buy a PlayStation 5 because all the scalpers tried to buy it. In Japan, what they did is they set up lotteries. A store would get so many, you had to enter a lottery. You could enter again and again and again, and then you would win the lottery and get your PlayStation or not. Now they're available, but back when it was scarce, they were trying to stop scammers or scalpers, so you could only buy one at a time and you had to enter a lottery. It became quite a bit of work. We planned out a scalping tour and to Odaiba on the date of release. So the day this thing was coming out, they're like, we're going to, as a group, go to these stores and buy them all. And even managed to beat the lottery. So again, that's the lottery I just mentioned. And some members were even planning trips around the expected profit from scalping. So they're saying these guys plan to buy so many and then sell them and make so much money. They'd plan to trip based on that potential profit from the selling, reselling these toys. When you think about how we paid expensive participation and transportation costs, increasing stock just to destroy resellers is too much, isn't it? So they're saying, like, we had to pay travel expenses. We had to, you know, maybe stay overnight. So we had to pay a hotel. We had to travel. We had to do all these things. It cost me money to prepare to steal from other people. Don't you think it's unfair that I didn't get to steal from anyone? There are people from the countryside who booked hotels just to come to Odaiba. Imagine Gunpla being something that anyone can buy whenever they want. I actually would imagine that, to be honest. I don't see why there is scarcity. Even sold in convenience stores. Do you think the children will value Gunpla when it happens? So he's trying to say, like, if it becomes readily available, then people won't value it as much. But that's the problem, because the only way he makes money off it is if people value it. And that becomes because the created scarcity of the product. You want it, but you can't buy it. There's low stock, and that's why it is enticing. So he's saying that scalpers make products more attractive and more exciting for people to buy. It'll make it be better for the company. Even us setting the high price isn't just because we want to make more money, although, of course, it is. It's set so that kids can't buy it with their pocket money and that parents can instead buy it for them, leading to a parent-child communication, helping quash parental neglect and making children smile. This is where it became suspicious, as if to not, this was might have just been satire. Because your kids have to ask the parents for money, the parents have to talk to their kids, and that's going to stop them neglecting their children, doesn't sound like even something someone who is angry about losing profits would say. That's why we were forced to sell the Gunpla at such a high price. We were doing this for a noble cause, is what they were trying to say. There are also some resellers whose career didn't work out or were forced out due to power harassment. So they're talking about, like, they had a job and they were having trouble at work, and then this reselling became their new job so they could escape this negative situation. Despite betting on a chance to turn things around as a reseller, are you really going to even waste that investment? How the heck should they survive? The end is a bit grandiose, which is why the end seems suspiciously like this might not be a sincere called to justify reselling. But it is interesting the way the companies in Japan have handled reselling. Like I said, the PlayStation, they ran lotteries. Almost every store had a lottery. You couldn't just walk into a store and buy it. You had to register. You had to, like, enter the lottery regularly. And then you got one. I got one. And then my wife and I got one at the same time. So I actually bought one and I was able to get one for my friend. I didn't resell it. I sold it to him for the exact price, not anything more, nothing less, because I wanted him to actually have his PlayStation. It's interesting what Bandai Namco have done in this situation. They know people are going to buy this. They know they're going to try to resell it. They're like, let's say we're going to sell 1,000 units. What we'll do is release 100. And then after the scalpers buy those 100, we'll release the other 900 and then we'll undercut the value. But those guys have bought it. They can't really bring it back and exchange it for the same price. Or they could bring it back and get their money back, but then someone else could buy it without having to spend that extra money that a scalper would expect. That was an interesting tactic. I don't know if they did it on purpose, but it does seem like this one instance was calculated to undercut scalpers. So this treaty that was posted on the internet, if it's serious, it's quite funny because of the sort of grandiose nature of we're trying to mend families by scalping. But also, if it's not, it's actually pointing out sort of the irony of what do these people think they're actually doing when they're just trying to take more money away from relatively normal people who are just trying to, like, indulge in their hobby. Okay, normally I save the last story for creepy old men. And there's not any creepy old men stories. I didn't do anything this week. But we have Maezawa. He's a Japanese billionaire. This guy In 2021, he was the first person to the first Japanese person to travel to the International Space Station. He did that on his own money. He just like, I'm going to buy a ticket on a spaceship and go to the International Space Station. He canceled his planned trip to orbit the moon. He said it was somehow unfeasible. So this guy has so much money, he's taking his free time and like, I'm going to go to the International Space Station. I have so much money, I'm going to go around the moon, which probably I don't think anyone's actually ever done yet. He was participating in the Ferrari Challenge Japan, which is you own a Ferrari, you can join this. It's basically a race. And he was in a bit of a crash. None of it was life-threatening. And when I heard about it, I felt nothing. And this is kind of the same thing that happened to those billionaires who went in the submarine. And in the submarine, they went, and of course it imploded and everyone died. There was a kid on there, and everyone sort of feels some sympathy for the kid. He was really relatively innocent in this process. But I heard this really, really famous rich guy had crashed his car. Now, I didn't know if he was dead or not, but I was like immediately like, I don't care. And I don't care because he's a billionaire and he can spend his time going to the International Space Station and he could spend his time in his Ferrari racing around a racetrack and then have a crash and it still not negatively impact him. And I think I realized it's because let's make a list of things I couldn't afford to do that are involved in this story. Should we go biggest to smallest? Okay, yeah, things I couldn't afford, we'll go biggest to smallest. I couldn't afford to pay for a trip to orbit the moon. I couldn't afford a trip to go to the International Space Station. I couldn't even afford one of those trips where you just leave the atmosphere and float for 2 minutes and then return to the atmosphere of the Earth. I can't afford a Ferrari. I can't afford to take my Ferrari and put it in a car race. I can't afford to take my regular car and put it into a race. I can't afford to take the trip to Miyagi, the place where the race happens, so I could actually even watch the rich people race their expensive cars. That's how poor I am compared to this guy. What he's doing on a weekend for fun, I couldn't even afford to do without negatively impacting my general lifestyle. And then this is one of those things where people are now starting to turn on billionaires because he got hurt crashing his expensive car in a race that was completely frivolous. Well, I'm sorry. I don't really give a fuck. But it was national news. It was really big news because rich guy crashes his rich thing into another maybe rich guy's car and didn't have any life-threatening injuries. And he's going to take time off from work and then, recover completely and then have people like do awesome rehabilitation so he'll be fine. Whereas I hurt my knee 5 years ago and, you know, I did my best, but it's still not 100%. Mizawa, I'm sorry, man. I feel nothing for you. And deep down inside, I kind of hope it hurt.